You are listening to Pastor Damon Moore, brought to you by City Place Church in Orlando, Florida. For more information, visit us online at cityplacechurch.com. Now, here's this week's message from Pastor Damon Moore.
I'm just going to get into the word. Is that okay? I know what I'm going to preach about. Anyway, it's not the video clips. The video clips just add to the message, but it's the word of God that changes us. Amen? Did you come into God's house? I do have a question for you, though. Did you come into God's house just, and you don't have to raise your hand, but did you come into God's house because it's Sunday and you have to go to church, or did you come into God's house because you are expectant of what Jesus can do? Pause. Think about it before you respond. I paused on purpose. The reason why I asked you that question is because as a pastor, I just want so you can know where I'm coming from. As a pastor, my preaching is in vain if you have no expectation. It's clear in the Bible that Jesus went into places. Jesus himself went into places and he was like, y'all, we need to go. Because there was no faith and no expectation. And so if we come in here on the weekend, you want to come in here with some expectation for two things. One, what you can give to the Father. And two, what the Father wants to do in you. Are you with me? And so if you come in with that expectation, it doesn't matter if the kids are up here singing a song or if there is a message on Sunday morning, you and I will leave here with a God encounter. Are you here? But if we come through the door and it's just like, well, you know what? We have to go to church. We have to be there. Then you could just stay home. I mean, there are thousands upon thousands of churches online. You can stay home, right? I mean, let's be honest. But if you come into God's house with God's people, with expectation, you and I will leave changed. And so I want to set the scene this morning that you have to have a level of expectation of what God will say and what God will do. Otherwise, I'm just preaching a really good motivational speech. And because I put in the time, I know what God wants to say. And so your expectation has to be high. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 4. 32 and verse 4. It says this: He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are justice. A God of truth and without injustice, righteous and upright is he. Let's pray. Father, we love you today. We thank you that in your presence there is miracles. In your presence there is life change. In your presence there is freedom. In your presence there is everything that we need. So this morning as we push into your presence, now as the word of God is about to come forth, we thank you that your word will change us. I just pray, Lord God, that this is not just a normal Sunday, but this is our encounter with you. We're going to leave here differently than the way we came in. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 32 says this. It says, He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are justice. A God of truth and without injustice, righteous and upright is he. When you read this text, you will find that this is Moses talking and dialoguing. Moses is actually writing a song here. And Moses has the ability to dialogue about God's faithfulness because Moses has been on the front line of God's faithfulness. Moses has been the person that has done the worst and God has used him to his best. Moses is the one that had an inkling that there was something that God wanted to do in him and that God would use him, but Moses had a past. If you know anything about the boy that was pushed down the Nile, Moses, when he got a little bit older, killed a man and threw him off the side of a cliff. Amen. How many of y'all would be cool with me preaching to y'all this morning if I said this was my rap sheet? I threw Johnny off the cliff, but Jesus uses me. How many of y'all be a little nervous about the next time we got in an argument? You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, hey, no. Let's talk over here in the corner. I don't think you're going to come right away. I don't think you're going to come right away. So the Bible says that Moses throws this man off the cliff and he flees. And while he is in the wilderness, the Bible says that God meets him And it says that God speaks to him and says, I've heard the cry of my people, and I'm going to use you to bring to them what they've never experienced and the thing that they've been praying for. And the Bible says that Moses responds to God, and Moses shows up, and Moses goes to Pharaoh. If you know the story, you've seen the Ten Commandments, Charlton Heston. If not, and you're younger, there was a movie about Moses. Moses goes into Pharaoh, and he says, God says, let my people go. God is a deliverer, and you've been holding them back, and God wants you to free them now. So the Bible says that Moses grabs almost a million people at the time and takes them on this journey to freedom. It wasn't in Moses' hand, but it was in God's hand, but God used Moses to bring the freedom for somebody else. Are you tracking with me? I'm setting up the movie. Okay? God speaks to Moses, who had a past. He uses Moses, who had a past, to bring freedom for somebody else. You got that? Let me break it down on this side. God uses Moses, who has a past of throwing someone off a cliff, to speak on the behalf of someone else who needs freedom. You with me? God speaks to Pharaoh to let God's people go. When Moses begins to go, because of his past and his yes to God, Moses is then stepping into the place where he's going to bring freedom for somebody else. Moses, who had a past. I know I'm repeating it, but I want you to get this. Moses had a past. God speaks to him. God had delivered Moses, and then he says, now I want you to bring it to someone else. Moses shows up for a million people and tells Pharaoh the obstacle, the one who's been holding them back, the one who's been oppressing them. Because of the authority and the encounter that he had with God, Moses was bold enough to look the enemy in the face and say, it's time for you to break the hold. You tracking with me? I've repeated it like 5 times. It's time for you to break the hold. Pharaoh, let's go a little bit. Moses leaves with a million people, and they begin to walk out their freedom. This morning, we have a movie that's called Bridge of Spies. It's a different type of movie. Your kids really can't see it right now. Like Moana, they can see that. This one, they can. This is about a man by the name of Abel, who is a Russian spy. It takes place during the Cold War. There's a man by the name of Donovan, who is an insurance attorney, who is presented the case of Abel, and the U.S. government wants him to defend Abel, the guilty one. Donovan is hesitant because this is a Russian spy. But Donovan decides that he's going to throw himself into the case to see if this man who is guilty, Moses, on the back of the wilderness, who is guilty, decides that he wants to defend a group of people who need freedom. Donovan says, I'll take the case. This morning it's my assignment to see what freedom could really look like if I, this morning, would advocate on your behalf. And if you and I, by the end of this service, would advocate for someone else. I wonder what would happen when, if God would touch you and I, because you and I have done some things that we really don't want played out on the screen. Are you with me? But I wonder if God will meet us today, and there'll be something that triggers on the inside of us that said that maybe we should become the advocate for the person who is guilty. But maybe freedom is theirs as well. Moses is in the backside. I said this earlier. He goes to Moses, and he speaks. I'm sorry. Moses goes to Pharaoh, and he says, let God's people go. There's a little bit of a wrestle back and forth between Moses and Pharaoh. Moses goes back 9 times because Pharaoh is holding on to the product and the people that he's held bound for so long. Can I tell you that the enemy's not going to let you go easily? The struggle of your life, he's not going to let you go easily. The reason why is because the longer he holds you, the further you feel and the further he feels you are from your purpose and your destiny. So he's going to try to hold on to you even though God has already given the assignment to go. Are you with me? So some of us can be walking in our relationship with the Lord, but the enemy would try to keep you back from going after the full potential that God has on the inside of you. But there is somebody like a Moses that has gone through something that could stand in front of you like myself this morning and tell you that if God did it for me, God will do it for you. Freedom is available to you. Write this down. Here's the first thing that you would have found in the story, because in the story in the movie that we were going to show today, Donovan is sitting around the table with his wife, and he had only been speaking in hypotheticals. He had been been like, you know, the government has presented this case to me, and they've said that there's this man who is a Russian spy, and they want me to defend him. And he's sitting at the table with his wife, and he had only told his wife that he was considering it. He was considering representing the guilty person. And so he's sitting at the table, and his wife goes, oh, why would you even consider, this is what she says. She says, why would you even consider defending the guilty? Why would you consider the guilty when you know that he's guilty? And he says, well, this is what he says. When you see the clip, he says, everyone deserves a defense because everyone matters. Everyone deserves a defense. You can write that down, because everyone matters. Let me say it again. Everyone deserves a defense because everyone matters. I know what you're thinking, Damon, but what about the, and the person who does the, and the one that did the to me? Everyone deserves a defense because everyone matters. Doesn't it seem unfair that Jesus would die for the person that did the, and the one who, and you know the one that did this to me? Isn't it unfair that Jesus would have died for them too? Am I the only one? That you think about it in your mind. The worst thing, we go, oh, they don't deserve to be free. Have you ever said that out of your mouth when we watch the news? How dare they? But if we think about the natural, yes, that could be true. But the spiritual, everyone deserves a defense because everyone matters. So Moses is standing in front of Pharaoh, knowing that he has been guilty of murder himself, but because he has accepted the freedom that God gave, he is able to say, I am not the only one that deserves to be free. Everyone deserves a defense because everyone matters. Let them go now. So in the scene, the apprentice of Donovan runs in, and his wife sets him up. She says, so you guys are considering the case, huh? And he says, considering? No, we're taking this case. And we've been planning the whole time because everyone deserves a defense and everyone matters. This morning, I want to tell you, you walked in here, it doesn't matter where you are, you deserve the defense of Jesus this morning. You deserve to be in a church that's not going to look at you based on what you've done, but look at you based on how Jesus sees you. Everyone deserves a defense. Everyone matters. So when we get to Deuteronomy 32, Moses is kind of reminiscing, going back, thinking about how amazing God really has been. Sometimes you and I have to think back to the time when he did. Not the time when he did not, but the time when he did. Because if we realize that he has done, then we won't think about the fact that he has not done. If I can sit in the seat of, I did throw somebody off a cliff, and he did use me, then I'll always realize that someone else deserves what he gave me. But it's when you and I forget that he did something for me, that's when I go, how dare they think that they could walk up in the church after they did what they did? This is not that kind of place. Have you ever been to the place where you lifted up your nose to somebody, all because you thought your stuff was together and your stuff didn't stink? This is what that movie is about. You'll have to watch it on your own. Again, I apologize for the technical difficulties. There's nothing we can do about it, but the word of God is still for real. You can write this down. You are crafted and created by the hand of God, period. You're crafted and created by the hand of God. That's the reason why you deserve a defense and you matter. Psalms chapter 139, verse 14 says, I will praise you because you made me unique. I'm going to give God praise. Why? Because ain't nobody like me. I know that might seem a little prideful, but I'm going to give God praise because God created me unique. If you read it in another one, it says, because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. You didn't just pop into existence. You were formed by the ultimate creator. You're unique. There's nobody like you. And if God would take his time to create you and form you, then there is a purpose and a plan no matter what you've done. No matter how far you think, no matter what you've ever done, throwing somebody off a cliff, you're fearfully and wonderfully made. You're unique. This morning, I came to be for you what Moses was for a million people and what I wish the movie would have shown today. I came to be a defender. I came to represent you today because if you walked in here this morning feeling like you will not be who God designed you to be, I came to tell you that this morning, we're just going to put the enemy in front of you and let him know that he can't hold you. I feel like we can get you off today. I feel like we can get you acquitted. I walked in here this morning with the word of God. I walked in here with Jesus this morning as my eyewitness. I walked in here to put Jesus's word on the stand, to let his word speak for itself, to ask of the word of God to see if you and I can't leave here free. The only thing that I ask is that once you get your freedom is that you don't just hold it to yourself. You try to find someone else. Because everyone, what? Deserves a defense. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says this. It says, for the wages of sin is death. Period. Whoa. But it goes on to say, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So there is a spiritual thing that will happen when we're separated from God. Remember, sin means to miss the mark. There is this thing that happens spiritually that separates us, that will cause us to be distant from God. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus. So, Your Honor, this morning, since I have to act out the show, the movie, I like to call my first witness. And in honesty, I only have one, Your Honor. If I'm representing Abel, you will be him this morning. Is that okay if y'all just play with me? I feel like it'd be better. To represent him, and the people here, I like to call Jesus to the stand. I like to call Jesus. Jesus, your word says that sin is death. I know that's what the prosecution will lean on. They will lean on the fact that everyone in here this morning is doing something wrong and they deserve it of death. But Your Honor, I like to have Jesus respond to the second part. Now, I got to be honest, won't just be words, Your Honor. My witness also did something with his action. Says that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Jesus, I'd like for you to take us back to when this word became true. I can imagine Jesus sitting on the stand going, do you want to ask me questions or you want me to just talk? How much of the story do you want me to tell? Jesus, I want you to tell as much as you feel comfortable with. So I can imagine, again, y'all are in the courtroom. We're just going to bring the movie to life. Jesus, you go. I can imagine Jesus, as he's sitting representing you and I in the prosecution, who would be the enemy, is trying to tell God why you shouldn't be grabbing hold of the purpose that God has designed for you. I can imagine Jesus going, well, it started over 2,000 years ago when I was asked to go to the cross. There was a moment, I got to be honest, where I was hesitant. But all I could think about was the fact that the Father wanted to make sure that every one of his sons and daughters had relationship. And I was in a garden and I was crying out and I said, Dad, is there not someone else who could take the place for these sinful people? And I pulled it back because I remember my dad said that he felt like he was missing something. So I said, Lord, it's not my will, but your will be done. Right after I said that, these men grabbed me. Am I talking too much? No, you're not talking too much, Jesus. Keep telling more of the story. They grabbed me, and they just began to beat me. They started saying, you're not the Son of God. And I wanted to say something, but I didn't, because all I could think about the fact was that the Father was going to have me take the place of Abel. So they started grabbing me, and they began to pull my beard, and it hurt so much, but all I could do was just yell out of the pain that it was causing me. And I can remember my dad had prophesied in Isaiah that it was going to be the stripes and it was going to be the bruises that it would really be that would bring healing and health and wholeness. So I didn't say much. All I did was yell out. And they strapped me and they just began to beat me. I can't even really describe the pain, But honestly, I would have done it if it was just for Abel. But prosecution, I did it for you too. I know you're probably thinking that's kind of weird, but I did do that for you too. But since I'm only up here for Abel, I'm talking about Abel. I'm Jesus, by the way, just so y'all know. He says, and they just continued to beat me. And it was getting later, and they decided that they were going to just put me on a cross. But they made me carry it myself. They'd already beat me, as if that wasn't enough. But I knew that it wasn't the end because the Father told me what would happen. So I carried the cross. They put me on a cross. It was like a T. You're wearing one around your neck, Mr. Prosecution. You go to church? I don't understand why you would be pointing a finger at him when you're wearing me around your neck. Maybe you didn't think that I died for you too, but that's next time. So I hung on a cross and they put nails in my wrist and in my feet. And after I'd hung there hour after hour, I just gave myself away and said, Father, take my spirit, but before I go, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. That day I died. I stayed in the grave for 3 days. 3 days later, I came up. And the minute I came up, I brought life to everyone. So when Damon read that verse, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life, can I tell you that I was there? I lived through the moment. And the main reason why I died, Your Honor, was because Abel is innocent. I'm a defender of the guilty. It's what I do. When people point a finger at those I love, I step in to defend them, to tell them that I died for you. Can I tell you, you walked in here this morning and Jesus died for you. Even if you already know it, I'm just telling you so that you can get it again. Jesus died for you. And Jesus is on the stand advocating for you. And if you see the movie, there's a place where in the second scene where they are in a courtroom and they deliver the verdict and they say, he will be turned over to serve a maximum sentence. That's it. And people begin to stand up. They're like, he's guilty. He's guilty. Put him to death. How dare you let him live? You know what he did. You know what he did. He deserves to die. He deserves to die. Kill him right now. And all of the people in the crowd, they're yelling, kill him. Here's what I realize. You have to watch out for religious people. When you see it, you have to watch out for religious people because religious people will always condemn you. Religious people will always condemn you. No matter what, when you see the scene, they're in a courtroom and every one of them has done something wrong. But they all felt like they were the righteous enough to say, kill him. That's what happens to us when we come into environments. If we're not careful, a spirit of religion will come upon us where we feel like we've set the rules. We've forgotten about our grace. Moses threw someone off the side of a cliff. God encountered him. Moses said, because God delivered me, I've come for them. Why is it that you and I, when we get ours from God, we feel like no one else should hear the story? Why do we keep to ourselves the goodness of God? For fear? I get it. I'm an introvert outside of this. We were in New York the other day. I talked to very few people. We were sitting, and I was like, oh, in the theater. And I was like, no. Please don't put your arm on my side. Please don't. But then after the show, I felt a little convicted because I was like, I wonder if I was supposed to start a conversation and maybe they were going through something, but I didn't even inquire. Maybe I was sitting in seat two and they were sitting in seat four because they were designed to be beside me. But because I got my ticket and they had theirs, I was good. I had my access to the show. But I wonder if they were beside me because they needed freedom. They're in this courtroom and they're yelling, kill him, kill him. And I wrote this down. You probably see it on your notes. You got to look out for religious people. Here's what I wrote down. You can write this down. Religious people are always shouting out the obvious. You can do your own meter. Religious people always shout out the obvious. If that's you, you're religious. Everyone in here is a sinner. If I point out what you do wrong, religious. You know what I'm saying? I ain't got nothing wrong. but you do. Religious people always shout out the obvious. You are guilty. So am I. Thank God for grace. Religious people shout out the obvious. Your sin, your mistakes, your problems. Here's my question. How many times have you gossiped, backbite someone, and talked bad about somebody else? Didn't know you were being religious, did you? Religious people always shout out the obvious. Wrote this down. Religious people, they're always right. But you're not. Religious people, they're always right, but you're not. Kill him, they said. Kill him. When you see the clip, kill him. Oh, this one would get me right here. If you're taking notes, write this down. Religious people will preach what goes around comes around. What goes around. Have you ever heard that? What goes around comes around. Maybe you've said it. What goes around comes around. Do you know what goes around comes around is? We use this word called karma. What goes around comes around. I've never read that in scripture. Do you know what that does? When we say that's karma, do you know what we've said? We've said that God's grace doesn't exist. That I'm deserving of the sin and I'm deserving of the result of my sin. What we've said when we say that, I guess I deserved it. What we said is the grace and the pain that Jesus took means nothing right now. I was coaching my kids, and whenever I'm coaching, I get real intense. I'm in it to win it, and it's a game. It's not like just fun. And so we're playing the game, and the other coach ain't know the rules. That's not my mistake. That's his, right? So we moving the ball. The kids stop him. And the referee comes over, and he's like, hey, coach, the other coach didn't know the rule. And I looked at him like, so what you want to do about that? It's our ball. And this is what he goes, coach, so you going to take the ball? I'm like, the kids worked hard. It's their ball. And I'm not Pastor Damon out there. I'm in it to win it. I'm just telling y'all right now. Am I right? We play to win the game. I'm not playing for everybody to get a trophy. No. You need to lose a little bit. So he goes up to the other coach. He's like, coach, this coach don't want to give you a do-over. And this is what the referee does. He comes over to me and he says, now you know that'll come back at you, right? I said, what? He goes, and then he says, what goes around comes around. I said, no, it does not to me. I told him that. I was like, no, it does not to me. You go with that. Well, how is that going to come back? If I accept that, when will that come back? Is that because my tire blew out? Oh, you know what? I should have let the kid. No. I'm 100% serious. Watch this. If we let people speak things that are not godly into our life, when do I put the judge? Something tragic. We lose a child. Was that because? Or what about we lose a job? Was that because? No. If God's grace is God's grace, he died. I just put Jesus on the stand for 5 minutes. If he died for me and his grace set me free, karma doesn't exist in my life. It's not what goes around comes around. It's God's grace. There is the law of sowing and reaping. I get that. But nothing bad is going to happen to me because I cut you off in traffic. Come on. Sometimes we accept things in our life that hold us down, don't set us free. Karma is not godly. Is that bold enough for you? So if someone tells you what goes around, I'm sorry. Give me a scripture for that, but don't bend it. The wages of sin is death. I'll take it. But the gift of God, let's finish that, please. Religious people will always try to tell you what goes around comes around. Don't ever tell me that. No one should ever tell you that. I'm sorry. It might feel like that, but no. The minute you tell me that, I've got to try to tag on what that applies to. Sorry, that doesn't apply to me. Here's what does apply to me is grace. Grace is me getting something better than I deserve. You know what? Because of Adam's sin, there's a separation from God. I know it seems harsh, y'all. And actually, as a pastor, it's hard to preach sometimes that the separation from God would cause such a great distance that heaven and hell, oh, why would a... Listen, it takes us stepping over the cross to go to hell. Jesus died for us. There's a wide open door. I'd rather focus on heaven and my relationship with God than trying to just go hell, hell, hell. Hell is real. It is 100% real. The enemy, watch now, the enemy's sole purpose, he could care about what he takes from you. He wants the distance from God. If he keeps you distant from God, he goes, got him. He moves on to the next person. He knows that you are his greatest threat when you accept the freedom that God gave you. The freedom that God gave you comes to you through the salvation that God, that Jesus gave. So hell is being filled up because we accept what the enemy says, what goes around, comes around. You know you did that. And God's grace is going, but I'm giving you something better than you ever deserved. I'm giving you Jesus. So when you see the movie, when you go home and you see the courtroom scene, everyone's yelling. And Mr. Donovan's standing there going, but he deserves grace too. Just like you. Y'all all right? Listen, I'm working overtime trying to film this movie in front of y'all. The part of Jesus, just so y'all know, is played by Jesus today. 1 John chapter 2. Flip there with me. 1 John chapter 2. Or if you're on your digital device. 1 John chapter 2. 1 through 2 says this. Watch. It says, my little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus, the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. Let me break this down to you. The text that I read was a different version. This is NIV. Look, it says that, hey, don't sin. But if you do, Jesus hops back on the stand for you and says, just so you know, I've already paid the price for them. Did you get that? Look, don't sin, y'all. Don't sin. Y'all know what you should be doing and what you shouldn't be doing. You got that part? But if you do, don't just sit in that chair. Jesus is going to hop on the stand for you, and Jesus is going to defend you. Did you get that? The Bible says that Jesus already died for your sins. Let's move on. So what you and I need to do is we need to not go, oh, I'm going to get punished for that. What I just did, I better be looking for that one. No, we accept grace because grace is Jesus, who is better than we deserve. Are you with me? Here's the next one. So in the third clip, I'm giving you guys all the movie. In the third clip, Donovan goes to visit Abel in the prison after he's been given his sentence that it's going to be life. Donovan now finds himself in a unique position because the man is deserving of death because he's a spy. He's been captured. But Donovan is beginning to think now, I wonder if there's some sort of freedom that he could get. So he goes to him and he says, I feel like there's an exchange that can be made, your country, mine, that could give you a sense of freedom. Now, the man is guilty. Again, the man is guilty, y'all. But Donovan is sitting in this room in prison with him. And when he walks in, Abel looks at him and he kind of goes, so you can handle this, huh? He's got a little accent. You can handle this. And he says, this is new territory for me and for you. I've never been down this road before. I'm fighting for you in my country. People are looking at me as if I'm the traitor. I'm defending you. You're guilty. And this is what he says. Abel looks at him and he says, I got to pronounce it right. He says, you remind me of a man named Storky Music. Storky Music. And he said, We refer to him as the standing man. Because whenever he would get knocked down, he would get back up. Whenever he would get knocked down, he would get back up. And so he was looking at him and he was telling him, he was like, I know you're getting blows thrown at you, but you keep coming back to help me. People are throwing stuff at you. People are throwing stuff at this case. And every time I turn, you're still in front of me. And he says, you remind me of the standing man. And this came to me. This came to me. Proverbs 24:16 says, the righteous man falls and gets back up seven times. The righteous man falls and gets back up seven times. And I wrote this. When you have experienced grace, there is a lesson to be learned. And that lesson that is learned is that grace picks me back up. See, grace picks me back up. When I want to stay down, grace picks me back up. So when he looks at him and he says, you remind me of a guy named Storky, you're the standing man. Because I've been going through this trial with you as you're defending the guilty. And you're getting thrown at, you're getting talked about, you're still standing. Proverbs says that the righteous man will fall seven times and gets back up. I wonder how many people in here have made the mistake over and over again. And you've wanted to lay down, but you made your way to church today. Can I tell you that it's God's grace that picks you up? It's God's grace that keeps picking you back up when you want to stay down. Write this down. Write this down. Stand up when it would be easier to stay down. Stand up when it would be easier to stay down. Stand up when it would be easier to stay down. Now, here's the thing. Can I just throw some stuff at you that is not soft? That is not, I haven't ran this through a filter, okay? Abel is in prison because he is guilty. Donovan is working for his freedom. Abel is going to get his freedom by the end of the movie. But here's what I realized about you and I when it comes to our prison. Watch this. You and I need to stop faking our freedom. Because we fake freedom a lot. We lie. We act like we're not dealing with anything. We act like we're not going through anything. We act like we're not struggling with anything. And we're acting like we're free when we're not. We need to stop faking our freedom. Are you with me? We act like we got it all together, and we don't. I was talking to the guys asking about the man cave, which is our, Taisha did her promo, so I'm going to do mine. You know what I'm saying? I got the mic now, don't I? Woo, mic drop. No, look. No, but I was asking how the man cave went, and some of the feedback that I got was that the men came out talking. They came out open and honest. And I thought, that's different. Because sometimes it takes a little bit of time for men to open up. But here's what I thought. The men were in a place when they heard one story of what God had done, they felt comfortable to talk about what God could do for them based on the fact that someone else had been free. Moses is in the back of the wilderness after he had killed someone. God asked him to step forward to talk to Pharaoh. He says, based on what God did for me, I'm going to do it for these million people. God lets him go. In our small group, the men started talking because they had heard other men that had been free. See, so many times you and I fake our freedom, and we're not. We're dealing with things with our mind. We're dealing with things with our health. We're dealing with things with our marriage, our family, singleness, whatever it may be, and we fake it. We fake it. It's time for you and I to stop faking our freedom. Are you with me? Y'all are just nodding your head. We do it all the time. How you doing? Okay. I'm good. Well, how about this one? This is my favorite. I'm going to pick on you, Naram, not because it's you, but he and I joke about this phrase, blessed and highly favored. Yeah. Have you ever used that one? If you've been in church for any amount of time, you will say that. At least if it was like the 90s and early 2000s. How about this one? Let's see if anybody knows this one. This is old school. God is good. All the time. God is good. But is he right now while I got the doctor's report? Huh? What if we said this, and I know this is a little off. How are you doing? This week was one of the worst weeks of my life. I know that throws people off. Some people don't want to hear it. So what? Stop faking your freedom. The reason why is the advocator of your life has to be able to step in and defend you. If you keep defending you, when will freedom show up? So I fake it all the time. And I'm in the room with the guilty. Can you imagine if Abel is like, I didn't do it. I did not 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 do it. And they'd be like, but they caught you, man, doing it. I didn't do it. I didn't do it. I didn't do it. I'm telling you, I didn't do it. No, but they caught you doing it. What if we stopped faking our freedom and became truthful for once? I'm not saying that you're not. I'm not yelling. But what if we stopped? Freedom is all based on our surrender. I know this seems weird because Jesus brought us out, but we surrender to him. Freedom is all going to be based on your surrender. I wrote this down. Oh, let me chime in on the start. I'm sorry. I just want y'all to know that you are in a safe place at City Place Church. When we talk about faking your freedom, I want you to know that City Place Church, we are a safe place. So if you begin to feel that moment where you want to open up and share, you're in a safe place. Just so you know, I just want to. Write this down. My struggle is not greater than Jesus' sacrifice. So if I'm going to stop faking my freedom, my struggle is not greater than Jesus' sacrifice. My struggle is not greater than Jesus' sacrifice. Galatians 6, 3 through 4 says, if anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. Your struggle is not greater than Jesus' sacrifice. So since that's the case, don't fake your freedom. Let Jesus, let the gift that he gave you be received by you. You, no matter how high it feels, no matter how low it might be, your sacrifice doesn't compare to Jesus's. Your struggle doesn't compare to his sacrifice. Here's the third thing. Your freedom has to be done in a team. Freedom is a team sport. Worship team, you can come up. Freedom is a team sport. Sounds weird, I know. But Abel didn't get free without Donovan. When you watch the movie, the last scene that we were going to show this morning, they found out that Russia was holding two Americans. And Donovan goes, why don't we exchange Abel for the two men that are imprisoned? He said, what if we brought freedom for not just Abel, but for two more people as well? So he works with some more people inside of the U.S. government. They're talking to the people in Russia. And in the last scene, there's this bridge scene where he's on one side with Abel, and then they're on one side with another U.S. person. And they begin to walk across, and there's this great exchange, and both of the men gain their freedom. Now, freedom is a team sport. You can try to be free by yourself, but you're going to need somebody else. I'm just going to tell you. I don't know if you've ever said this phrase, I'll do that when I get this right. Can I tell you that it's going to take you a little bit longer than if you jump into a team environment? That's the reason why we have our city groups. Our city groups, just so you know, it's not a program. They won't be here today, gone tomorrow. They may be in April. Maybe we'll put it in June. Next year we'll put it in December. Nope. These are pillars of our church. The reason why is in order for faith to be ignited, part of our vision, in order for faith to be ignited, we have to be free. Are you with me? I can believe. Oh, yeah. Great. But in order to receive the fullness of who God really is, we have to be free. I wrote this verse down. James chapter 5, verse 16 says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other that you may be healed. Confess your sins to each other. Pray for each other that you may be healed. Freedom is a team sport. James is real clear in saying, hey, find somebody. Pray for somebody. And go back to the man cave. The man cave, they have a little app that they communicate through. And I was looking at the thread this week, and I guess someone encouraged another guy about something that was taking place in an area of his life. And as he walked it out, he responded back like, hey, thanks for praying for me. Because when I got to X place, I saw a change. And I thought that if he wouldn't have had told, or if he would have faked his freedom, I wonder if he would have experienced it. But because he was open with a group of men, he experienced freedom the very next day. And the guys were like, yeah, that's what we're talking about. But what if he would have faked it? I wonder if he would have saw the change.
Thanks for joining us today. If you are in the Central Florida area, we'd love to meet you. Join us on Sundays in Southeast Orlando at City Place Church. Information on service times and directions can be found online at cityplacechurch.com.